again, good morning and welcome. I'm so glad to see each and every one of you on this cold and rainy day, but it is warm and it is welcoming in this space. Each of us has a purpose in this life. All of us in this room has something or some things that we can do to make this world a better place. And in this season of frenetic comings and goings, let us remember that our purpose lives in the present. And if we promise to make the time to stop and to look, we can connect with it. And in connecting with it, we become empowered. And most of all, we become resilient. We're able to bend with the flow. We're able to be supple, which is our nature. Okay, the sermon's over. Not so fast. You see, we all have a very hard time figuring out what that meaningful thing that brings us joy and makes a difference in the world, we have a hard time figuring out what that is. We're confronted with the perennial question, which has a few different ways of being asked. It might be asked the way that it's written on the wayside pulpit: who am I and where am I going? Why am I here? Why am I here? Our own Ralph Waldo Emerson once said that the purpose of life is not to be happy. It's to be useful, to be honorable, to be compassionate, to have it make some difference that we lived and that we lived well. I'm going to repeat that. He said that the purpose in life is not to be happy. It's to be useful, to be honorable, to be compassionate, and most of all, it's to have it make a difference that you lived and that you lived well. I believe that it's important for us to make time to recognize what that purpose is and realize that our entire life's journey is designed to reveal that purpose. Our entire life's journey is designed to reveal that purpose. And that journey takes us to some very, very strange places. And it takes us down some very strange roads. Like the time it took me down this desolate highway in Kansas. Now, this highway in Kansas, if you could imagine with me, is as straight a road as you could ever conceive of. And on one side of this road, there's a berm, like a mound of grass that goes the entire length of the road on one side. And beyond that is row upon row of corn. On this side, there are utility poles going the entire length of the highway. The sun is behind me, and I'm looking at the horizon. Now, the first thing that you might be wondering is, Daniel, what were you doing on this highway? No, you're not wondering that? Okay. So, the second thing that you might be wondering is, what is the metaphysical implications of this, and how does this relate to the sermon? I'm sure that's what you're wondering. Well, I'll tell you. The road is where we encounter something very special. You see, on this highway, as I'm looking down, and I'm inviting you to look with me, each of the utility poles on this side gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and closer together. The rows of corn and the berm on this side get smaller and smaller and smaller. And eventually, everything on that highway converges and vanishes. For those of you who know about design, you know that I'm talking about the vanishing point. Everything converges at the vanishing points. So-called separate utility pole, so-called separate corn, so-called separate road itself and me on it, all converges at one point on the horizon. And that point is where we find our purpose. I want to tell you more about this. You see, we are stuck, many of us, I know that I am, at looking at these very separate items and seeing them as separate items. We see corn as corn, utility pole as utility pole, highway as highway, self as self. And we just speed through. We never get out of our cars on that highway. We never stop. We never step back. Think about this. We never stop. We just keep going. And I think that if we did stop, we would see all sorts of patterns, all sorts of connections. We'd see relationships, because it's the relationships among the things that tell the whole story. As we zoom out from this highway, taking on an increasingly expansive worldview, taking in a holy view, some might call it, our perspective begins to change. We begin to recognize, as one of our principles, our seven UU principles calls us to, that we are part of a web, interconnected and interdependent. That desolate highway is leading us towards something, and every element in that tableau is taking us somewhere too. In my own life and my own experience, those separate elements, the culture, the language, the triumphs, the tragedies, the laughter, the people who have come in and those who have gone out, all of those things are pointing towards something for me. And I, not too long ago, determined that that point was parish ministry. And you see, the ministry was in everything that I did. It was in my friendships. It was in my home of origin. It was in every part of the story and the whole story itself. You see, I was always in the church, always attracted to helping people, always counseling, always gravitating towards Gothic structures and stained glass windows. Just couldn't help but touch them. Our own unfolding stories work in that same way. But how did I come to that conclusion? Well, because I got lost on a highway in Kansas, and I saw the light. No, I didn't see the light. But I did stop, and I looked. And that's what I'm asking you to do today going forward. To look at where you are. Look at what you love. Look at your career, but don't spend too much time there. Look at your hobbies. Look at the things that you are passionate about, even the things that you passionately dislike. Look for the patterns and the connections. Look at the obstacles and the frustrations too, because they are instructive. Look at the doubts. Within all of those things, you too will find those converging lines, those distortions that are pointing towards something. If you stop, and if you look, you will see the things that are leading you towards your purpose too. And like I said before, we have a problem in this world. People are not stopping and they're not looking. They're not looking at the horizon. They're just speeding through those intersections. And the consequences of such haste are many and deadly. You see, right now we find ourselves in a very, very strange period of time. We are at the ending point of one year and the start of another. Now, the ancient Egyptians had a calendar that had a few days short, 5 days short, compared to ours, 360 days. Now, within those 5 days at the end of one year and the start of another were an unaccounted period, a period where magic and creativity could happen, a period where changes can occur. And we are in just that kind of period right now, that period of magic and possibility. So I want us to stop here, to stop in this period, to do something simple, yet radically different. Our task today is to add meaning to the year ahead. And we do this by entering into covenant. You see, our faith tradition takes covenant, this word, very, very seriously. Back in the 1600s in New England, we decided that we weren't going to be guided by a creed that might have a list of things that we would subscribe to. We decided that we weren't going to submit ourselves to some kind of ecclesial authority that had bishops and deacons and popes in it. We decided that we weren't going to be guided by one overriding belief, but rather we would choose to be guided by our commitment to being in a certain kind of relationship with each other, with ourselves, and with the world. And that kind of commitment is what covenant means, a commitment to being in a certain kind of relationship. And this covenant that I'm talking about is sometimes written, sometimes not. But what it does, what this powerful instrument does, is that it changes how we see things, how we approach things, what we do, and in the end, who we are. So for 2014, this year that we are entering in, I've decided for myself that I want to enter into a covenant of openness. So this covenant of openness that I'm entering into for the new year and that I recommend for you is one where I am going to expose my vulnerabilities, where I am going to let in the magic and the wonder and the mystery and the frustrations that this year will have in it. It's an expression of my willingness to take in the experience of being here at USG, here in Philadelphia, here in this brand new role. This sense of openness, this covenant of openness that I'm entering into, is one where I approach and embrace all that life has to offer on its own terms. Not with the lens of the past or the expectations of the past, or even the future for that matter, but the present, staying present and being open to it. You see, many of us would make resolutions. Many of us would make goals. But those things are artifacts of a bygone era, an era where we tried to live lives according to the expectations of others, especially in our world where so many things are commoditized and we're so focused on appearance and materialism. Being in a covenantal relationship with ourselves is so much more than that. It demands a sense of vision, and it connects us with our purpose. Each of us in this room today is is being given a special invitation. I'm extending that invitation to you. And that invitation is to enter into covenant. So I have to ask you, are you going to change and define your relationship with yourself, with others, with the world in the new year? Are you going to leave this room and make time to stop and to listen and to look? Are you going to be committed to being open? Open to the unseen connections and to the strange and wonderful ways that our purpose seeks us out, revealing itself on desolate highways in Kansas? Or are you going to speed through, speeding through 2014 the same way you sped through 2013, without a covenant, driving distracted, missing all the signs? You see, my friends, the choice is ours. Let us go into this next intersection with a covenant of openness, or a covenant of some kind. Letting go of the past, letting go of regret, letting go of the future as we seek to live authentically in the present. We can do this. We can do this. We can take this on. And if we can do that, we will see the connections. We'll see the converging lines and the distortions and where they are leading us. We can wash away the illusion of the wasted life, the absurd event. All of that, all of those things are illusions. That point on the horizon that we were staring at down the highway is where our purpose lies. And with a covenant of openness, we are able to see it. Blessed be. So I have to ask you, what is your vision for 2014? What is your covenant? As the ancient witness in the book of Habakkuk in the Hebrew Bible relates this story of how this minor prophet with a funny name, while in a sacred space, one day he received a special invitation that sounded like this.
Write the vision. Make it plain so that a runner may read it.
Was that right? Write a vision so that a runner might read it?
Yes.
Habakkuk was reminded that
there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie.
And although this plainly written vision may not come to pass at the exact moment that we want it to, the prophet was told to
wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay.
Well, Debbie, I guess he had it on good authority.
That's right.
Today, we are the prophet, and our task is to write the vision, to make it plain so that a runner might read it. And in so doing, we unleash the power of covenant for the year ahead. In my message to you, I spoke about my own covenant for openness, and I recommended it for you. Now, perhaps you have a different understanding of covenant. Maybe your covenant is to experience love, acceptance, wonder, connecting with something, something that's larger than yourself, perhaps even a source beyond yourself. Whatever it is, now is the time to enter into covenant, to make a simple promise for the future. And if you are willing to answer the call, and today is the day, then I invite you to come down the center aisle, two by two, and to use our Crayola stylus and our ancient scroll to write down your one word covenant. Now, this one, okay, maybe two words, we're Unitarians, should be written big, and not just spatially big, but it should be a word that encompasses all of the things, all of the ways you want to be in relationship in 2014. For me, it's openness. For you, it might be love or wonder. It might be forgiveness for you. Whatever it is, I invite you now to come forward and to write the vision.